Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. Today's guest is a lady by the name of Kathy Kirk. She, as you'll learn early in the podcast, she reached out to me on LinkedIn. And, well, I typically oblige people, as I'll say that on the podcast and repeat, people that reach out and are brave enough to ask or even come on the show. As way back in 2015, Joe Rogan did that for me, didn't know me from Adam, and brought me on his podcast. So I try to return that favor to other people. And as people on the podcast, I do my best to try to be open-minded and listen to what they're saying. I'm not one to argue back with people. I don't want a debate show. If someone believes what they believe, I'm not there to convince them otherwise. But I was there to listen, as I did with Kathy here. Is I listened to what she's experienced, what her beliefs are, where she's been, her story. Some of it resonates with me. Some of it doesn't. But then again, we're all held to our own belief schemas, really, right? Of what is or isn't in this whole thing. But maybe some were not, right? We're held to facts and science with some, and some things we're not, and some things we don't understand as human beings. Not yet, right? So just want to preface this podcast. Certainly open your mind up to this podcast as Kathy shares her experience, her lessons in the journey she's been on. It was kind of her to come on and share those things. So look, if you're into quantum physics and other dimensions and realms, well, she goes there and we go there and we talk about that, for about an hour or so. But I hope you enjoy, the podcast here with Kathy Kirk. And we are live. Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. I'm excited about today's guest, Mrs. Kathy Kirk, creator and founder of Applied Spirituality. I cannot wait to learn what that is. Speaker of BAE Systems, Qualcomm, SPARS, and the author of The Earthling's Quick Start Guide, Master Your Operating Unit on Earth, and Well Done, another book, Well Done, A Story of Applied Spirituality. Kathy, thanks for joining me on the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, long enough intro, but we got you in. We got through the technology. We did good. We did very well, actually.
I think so. Yep, we did well. We just slid right into home base.
That's it. So you reached out to me on LinkedIn, and you know, I typically oblige those that are that reach out like that. So, you know, I wanted to know, and take as long as you like for the answer, what is applied spirituality?
Well, it's a way of being. It's a cosmology. It's a philosophy. It's the way things work. So in this dimension, it's executed in Newtonian physics, and in fifth dimension and up, it's executed in quantum physics. So my question at the beginning of, I think, my life was, how does this all work? How do we master our lives? So after going through about 30 years of it and sort of being Aunt Esmeralda, you know, do you remember her?
Yes,
from Bewitched, you know, and I'd be screwing up my head to create what I want and end up with a jackass. And I wanted to know definitively, how could I, if I can't control anything external to me, how can I live a good life, the life I want to live? How do I have full measure of mastery over that? That was my incipient question.
I think that's probably most of our questions, right? Is what makes a good life? How do we live a good life? You know, what are the influences that are making me think what I'm supposed to live, right, as a good life?
Mm-hmm. Well, mine was particularly if you can't control, manipulate, lie to, deceive. In other words, if you are forbidden or can't bring yourself to operate in a power over others sort of paradigm, and you're just in your own sovereign universe, how do you create the life you want? How do you do that? So that was a pretty big qualifier on it, because I'm inherently a bad liar, and I can't hold a lie or a secret. So, and I knew those were good qualities of me. I just trusted those qualities. I didn't want to pitch those out the window. So if I can't control others or anything external to me, how do I influence whatever I'm influencing to have the life I want? That was the question. And that was the beginning of this ginormous answer. So, and it just keeps unfolding itself. So as I understand everything now, it includes everything. I mean, and when the mystics say all that is, it's all. It means the cosmos, it means galactics, it means down to the cellular microcosm level. And it's predicated on your own self-mastery. Where are you resonating? Which really boils down to, how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. So if you're not predisposed to feel, your first step in this journey would be start feeling.
Yeah, and the emotions themselves, right? If you're lacking the emotion of feeling, I guess I would say you're kind of on that borderline, literally borderline personality disorder. Maybe headed to a dangerous place if the feelings are absent, be that tears or joy or sadness or anything.
It's true, and I'm glad you used a diagnosis term, because that's how we are actually describing in human terms. And I'm going to often refer to it this way, third, fourth dimensional human terms, a separation from your source self, from your God self. So we are inherently right now in the game of separation from source, and the degree to which there's a gap between your human mind self and your source self is always pain. In everybody, it's the same. It doesn't feel good.
What's the source self?
Would be that part of you that is God, that is source, that is all that is, that is all that is truth, beauty, goodness, wisdom. The field of all that is. We're getting into a lot. We're going to get into a lot of physics, I would guess, but only in lay people's language, because I don't have enough physics to talk about it in any other way. But I have a knowing of it. That was the hard part. That's kind of where I started. I knew, but I didn't know how to speak about it. And in those days, you just didn't speak about these things. You were just nutsy if you did. So
sure.
Took me a while to break out of that.
Yeah, there's definitely a fear there when you begin to move away from typical realms of thinking or an understood. You tend to get grouped into the quotes religious. Find yourself on that side.
You know, as with each step, I had to sort of weigh that up. Did that mean, you know, I really am very opposed to any organized religion. However, I have known some very spiritual people who ignored all the dogma and found their own spirituality within a religion. So I've come to the knowing that all roads lead home to self, your true self, which is below the level of your personality self or egoic self or how other people reflect you back to you. That's who you truly are. You know, this giant spirit, this giant energetic being who squeezes itself down into this little physical form.
I'm following you. So, I mean, from the social influence to social constructs of what we are supposed to be, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act, we form fit ourselves, given the culture that we are in currently or raised in, be that Western, Eastern, wherever you're coming from, some geographic influences, social influences, even all of those influences, what I'm just kind of reiterating, I think what you're saying is, even with all those influences, even that narrows us down to who or what we really are.
Who and what you really are is always present. But when you incarnate into a created reality, which is what I call Earth, it's a third, fourth dimensional. All right, let's start from the beginning. All that is, everything that has form, everything is source God consciousness. Everything, everything. So that's the truth that underlays everything. It's the
including bad, evil, war, death, murder, all of that.
Yep. Every bit of it. Okay. So its substance is inherently God. So I bring, I call to mind the yin yang symbol that, you know, they, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. But that's all within the same circle, isn't it? So the dark and the light and the dark, it's all source. It's all underpinned by, I'm going to say, the physics of God, whoever God is or whatever God is. And I'm saying there's many aspects to it, but let's just talk about how it works, how it gets played out, right? The physical manifestation of it is all God. So I would illustrate that by saying we don't bump into other planets. Somehow your body knows how to turn food into new liver cells. The rain falls, the seasons fall in order. There is an inherent, elegant well-being out there. So I would say that God has many names. One of my favorites is well-being. Mm-hmm. It has created an elegant...
It's a perfect chaos.
Well... And there is no chaos, actually, because
you're saying
once
you, each is meant.
Once you understand how you're creating your zebra instead of a flower arrangement, you get to course correct. You get to clear, you know. So it's a giant puzzle. I mean, huge puzzle. And so this underlayment of Mars, the underlayment of the moon, the underlayment of your body, the underlayment of every physical interaction in relationships is source. And now, I said this was a created reality. So it is. So there's third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Now we get into quantum. Let's talk about third. Third and fourth is a linear reality. So we have future, we have past, and we have present, and we have time. So just like you did in algebra, you can graph that, right? X, Y, Z axis, right? Okay. So what happens when you go to fifth dimension? Now you can graph it, but in a linear reality, you can't graph it because we don't know anything about quantum physics. Very little. Very little.
What's the saying? Those that believe or state that they understand physics do not understand physics?
I know physics just because I know it within my knowing. Maybe I had one class in high school, and that, of course, was Newtonian physics. But let's get back to let's not go too far off the trail.
You're going to have to be doing that a lot of this podcast, by the way. It's back in because I'm going to scroll off, all right?
Pull me back to the question, too, because I can... This almost illustrates how interconnected everything is. So you could pull on a string over here. This is the entanglement of physics, and it's going to, you know, pop up ahead over here. So...
Yeah, that's so similar to the brain, right? I mean, we know nothing of the brain. We think we do. And then we thought that with the genome too, right? We've cracked it. We know it. Oh, wait a minute. If I remove this gene, this changes, then that changes. Everything's connected, and it becomes like really bad computer code that we don't understand.
You know, the computer is actually the perfect analogy in so many ways. And in some ways, it's not because science and technology frightens me because they're playing around with consciousness and they don't have the wisdom for it. So that's something we have to really, really rein them in on until we have reached a level of collective consciousness of oneness. Right now, we're in a third dimensional reality, back to the beginning here, third dimensional reality. So let's go with this. Underlayment is all God. And on top of that are built all these other dimensions. Third, fourth is a created reality. And there are rules to how it operates here. All right. It's a duality. In other words, them, us, Republican, Democrat, you know, there's always, but the underlying principle of a third, fourth dimensional reality is you have to believe in something other than God that has power.
So this could be government. This could be,
The doctor, the
yeah,
pill,
self even. I mean, possibly self, right?
your body, well, your ego likes to think that, absolutely. So an ego is created instead of true self to navigate this constructed reality where
We make this
you,
avatar to live in it.
I'm sorry?
With some sort of avatar, if you will, in our own mind to live in it.
Pretty much, actually. And this avatar, of course, only knows what it has experienced. It doesn't have any past life wisdom. It only has what it has experienced. So there's the snafu in creating from, you know, trying to envision what you want because an ego can't imagine anything that it hasn't experienced.
One more time. I love that line. One more time, just because I love the repeat of that.
Okay, the ego, if you're trying to envision, people say, vision what you really want. Okay,
Right, the
well,
secret, right? Envision it and it shall be.
yeah, and that is true, but you have to understand that an ego cannot envision anything that it has not experienced.
I like that. Man, I could ponder on that for a couple days right there.
Right, but your true self can. Because it's in another dimension. Your true self is multidimensional. So let's go back. We're kind of jumping, but I want to take it step by step. So third dimensional, you plop down here, you incarnate as this soul, and you sign a waiver saying, I agree to forget everything I know about oneness. I will never remember it. I will disavow that I know it. You know, it's so you can't pop out of the game. Because we would all pop out of the game and go, ah, wait, you're full of it, you know, because we're multidimensional. Our higher self would.
We certainly try with things like psychedelics, don't we?
We do, which is a testament to sort of like your soul always calling you home, you know, how can I get there, you know? So here's this constructed reality. And in this, the purpose of it is it's to grow a soul. To grow it in from experience, we get wisdom. So when we've been a bad guy, we have certain lessons and we go, wow, I didn't like feeling like that, you know? And so we take that, it goes into our Akashic record, and our soul grows and understands this side of something. And then we turn around and maybe we reincarnate in the next life to experience the opposite. So now we incarnate as the victim. And now we have another whole set of experiences and gain wisdom from that. And that goes to growing our soul. We're giving our soul muscles. It's the same on earth. If you experience something, you have more firsthand direct experience about what that experience means and the wisdom accrued to that than if you'd watched a YouTube video on anything, right? So, okay. So it's a constructed reality. Its purpose is to grow souls. And as you can see by looking out into our world, everything gets to be here. Everything. Dark to light, the entire spectrum gets to be here. All right.
Yeah, and for those that think it's so beautiful, I mean, I'm a huge nature guy. So if you just watch a few nature videos, watch how that goes down, the bad things that do happen to the innocent people. I mean, this it's all allowed here.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important to understand that everything's allowed here. It's one of those pinky packs that we make before we come in. You know, I have a whole thing that I think happens when we decide to incarnate to Earth. I think we meet with the team that says, all right, you know, I know that I incarnated this round from a ninth dimensional Arcturian civilization. I came in response to the Earth saying we need help and we need experienced people. You know, we need experienced souls. So I came across another universe to come and incarnate into this life to do this work.
How do you know that?
Well, I heard it. I mean, I didn't hear it outside of me. I heard it within me. And as I was hearing it, I was like, okay, that's enough. Just let me have a day or so to chew that one over. I mean, it's a communications in consciousness with all the aspects of yourself. Or if you want to talk to Abe Lincoln, you can talk to him. This is how the field, let's talk about the field for just a second, and then we'll come back to third. The field itself, to me, to give sort of a third dimensional representation, it would like being in the ocean, and every frequency, which is every point of reality, every soul, every whatever, has a frequency. It's like just like on a dial, and this is entanglement. You can tune into any frequency you want to if you are master enough. Right? If you can like actually focus yourself and go in, you can tune into any point in the field of all that is and have meaningful communications. You don't need any intermediary. Have I done this? I would say yes, but on a very limited basis. It's sort of like a blind hog finding an acorn. You know, it's like, who am I talking to?
Well, I have felt and seen levels like that, both dark and light. I was a pretty bad guy at my young age, and having conversed possibly in my own mind or with other dark things. I know it sounds insane for some people listening, but I've seen a dark side of people and myself. And on the other side, maybe it's God I'm talking to, maybe it's myself. A positive energy, but on top of that, I have been on enough psychedelics, and I have gone to. I remember showing up. I was on almost 7 grams at once, and I walked into a place. And in this place, these beings were surprised I was there and greeted me with like, "What are you doing here?" and I was there for a couple hours, right? And I know it's some people now would listen to this and go, you're batshit crazy, right? But I won't forget that 9-10 hours of where I was and what I spoke with or what spoke to me. I don't know, people will call it insane, but it was still an experience. I was still there. It doesn't take away from what it was.
Well, I'm with you. I think it's all true, and I think we are so at the bottom here in a third dimensional reality. We operate on a certain bandwidth, and above that bandwidth, you cannot know. You cannot. It's like not available. We don't have the physics to make that available to us, except if we use something. Either meditation. This is why the mystics have held that space of, to me, quantum physics for thousands of years. They didn't know how it happened. They couldn't have said it was physics, but they knew if they went in, they could find different layers and levels of things. They knew there was a reality within. So we can bend or jump physics or jump timelines. I'm pretty sure if you use ayahuasca or you use LSD or I've even had some strange things just on weed. I've never done anything else. Because I was always stubbornly, I know I can do this myself. I don't know how I knew that, but here I am all these years later. But I'm still not at the level I would like to be, but I think it's unfolding in perfect time. So I know enough to not confuse myself right now. You know, I'm still, my body is a third dimensional dense form. And that was the deal for this incarnation. We are ascending humanity and Earth into a fifth dimensional reality while in a third dimensional form. It's never been done before. Well, I can certainly see myself raising my hand for that one. Never been done before? I'm up. You know, I'll do it, you know. Dummy me. But anyway, it is an exciting adventure. If you think of it as a vacation, I mean, this is really exciting stuff to come into a physical form. And first of all, not even remember that you have all these skills that you can't even access, right? It would be very frustrating to remember that you used to bilocate or trilocate or you know, all the sixth dimensional skills and talents other than your five that you used to navigate Earth. Then there's the sixth sense, which is
we'd lose it. It's the same. Well, I can think about myself just being older now and looking back on what I used to be able to do physically, right? What I used to be able to do in my 20s, how I acted in my 20s. We reminisce about that. If we could imagine being able to reminisce about some stronger spiritual way of moving or working or something.
A reality that actually proves this one is an illusion or Maya, which is what the Buddha taught, right? This is all an illusion. And it is. It's like we put on masks, we play a role. And until we wake up and go, I don't want to be the bad guy in this, right? So you decide to change and you change the stage play. You change the movie. You change your movie, right? But it still feels real because we're in this third, fourth dimensional bandwidth, right?
Yeah, I write a lot about that power that I think a lot of us forget is in the third dimension, we can control the perception of that reality. As you said, change the set stage. We can continue to tell the narrative of what happened to us, what we've been through, the victimization or what have you. But one of those benefits of this third dimension is being able to change the reality and how we personify that, how we manifest that, how we put that out toward others. I mean, I wrote about as a true superpower. We love all these superhero movies, but we are superheroes in order to be able to change the perception of the ride and the life that we are on at any moment.
I love that when it is. I've thought of contacting Marvel and saying, you want the next generation of your superheroes? You take ordinary people and they go into a phone booth and meditate and they find their superhero within. And then that third dimensional creature comes out and is in full awareness and mastery of who they are. And they change the whole play from their source within. You know, that's how I would do the next generation of the Marvel superheroes.
But I like that. To pull you back, Kathy. So let's pull us back. So moving from the third to the fifth, what's the fourth about? Or is there a mission here, like a goal oriented? Right. I mean, a lot of people talk about purpose. What's my purpose? Right. These kind of things. So walk me back through that third, moving to the fifth as a whole consciousness, etc.
Okay. So in third, when you start to wake up, you're very annoying to the people around you who are fully in third. You know, you're asking inconvenient questions, you know. What about that immaculate birth? What was that? Run that by me again, you know. And there's a thousand things. You'll be in a corporation and you'll ask a very innocent question that is probably like shining the spotlight on something that is not, that is covert, that is hidden. So, by the way, Earth is already anchored in fourth dimension, and we are soon, if not right now, anchoring into fourth. So we are ascending as a race. So this follows to me in line with evolution. This is just, we've had physical evolutions on Earth, and this one is an evolution of consciousness. So fourth dimension, which is actually online now, and many are accessing fourth, fifth, sixth, even moments of seventh within. So it's that spirit self that is reaching higher all the time in this dense body. So this is a quandary that's never been dealt with before. You know, before, to go to heaven, fifth dimension, you had to die. You had to lose, you know, throw off this mortal coil. That's not happening this time. We are being upgraded physically as well with, we're going from a carbon-based being to a crystalline-based being. It's sort of like undergoing, we're rewiring the house with 220 instead of 110 so that we can hold more light and more love. Now, information above fourth dimension, fifth, sixth, seventh, is in light codes. I had this thought the other day, this was a few months back. I was trying to plan my garden, and I was thinking about photosynthesis, and I was thinking about what is it about sunlight that makes everything grow and makes us dependent upon the sun? What? Is it just light? But what about light? Well, it turns out there are light codes. They're like markers. And when the sun, so many hours for a bean plant, so many hours for a human, whatever. But it triggers light codes in our DNA. Uh-oh.
Nope.
Hang on a minute.
I got you.
Yeah.
You're definitely still in.
Yeah. I lost you.
All right.
So here, I'm back.
You. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To extend a little bit, Kathy, about the light you're talking about, there's a gentleman that is frequent in my podcast called Dr. Jack. His name is Dr. Jack Cruz. He's a neurosurgeon. And I forget what he calls. Anyway, a huge, huge proponent about light exposure, right? And 5G exposure, issues with that, artificial light exposure. But so in depth, I couldn't even summarize it now. I actually quote him in my book a lot, where he's talking about the effects on the brain itself, the eyes being the best receptors of the light exposure, when the best time. I mean, he's linked that to neurology, to brain health, and body health in general.
Well, good on him. He's one of the allopaths that are he's trying to figure out the interface too. That's been something I spent a year in pre-med. And so I sort of have a scientist mind, you know. It's like, there's got to be a way, what's the interface between the non-physical and the physical? And that's in our DNA. Now, we haven't really unlocked that. We've looked at the genome, but we don't know how it works. How does it produce peptides? How does that happen? So I love the mystery of all this, because it keeps me enthralled and it keeps me asking more questions and more questions. I don't know how much he talks about consciousness. That would be, he'll eventually reach a place where he's got to look at the question of consciousness and the reality or non-reality of that, because there's a non-physical component of us that our modern science, quote unquote, and allopathic medicine refuses to acknowledge.
Yeah, there's even an element that's missing. I know a lot of chemists and other scientists have tried to add up all of the chemicals that make up the human body and the human existence. And this chemical, this element, this chemical, they get it all the way down to about, I think it's 0.10%, and something's missing. And they don't know what that something is. There's no element chart for it. There's no chemical. There's no breakdown for it. We don't know what that is.
So that, I would say, is consciousness. And if you're looking at it with linear eyes, you think it's just a really tiny mod, but it's not. It's quantum. So it's going vertical, right? So let's go back to third. Third and fourth is this linear, you know, you can graph anything on a past, present, future, plus time. When you come to now, which is the entire work of Eckhart Tolle, talking about now, what is it about now? It's only one point on the line. It's only one point on the graph, right? But it's quantum. That's where everything goes quantum. And now you can go vertical. and you can access all these dimensions, which are literally stacked on top of each other, but they don't interface because they're in quantum physics. They're not in linear physics. So when you are meditating, you are bending physics or time. You're bending time, actually. I'm not sure exactly what you're bending, but you move out of linear time and you go into now and you go vertical. That's why the mystics knew they were actually achieving a different reality, or they were accessing a different reality. There, in their world, there was really a miracle. Something really happened, but it wasn't in this dimension. There have been a couple of movies out. Interstellar, I think, is one of them, where he's sort of like behind the wall and he can see the past through the wall. And it's still a very poor representation, but it's still trying to understand that in this now moment, I can access my 12th dimensional self.
Well, it'd be the present, using meditation, being in the present to, well, what do they say? Lift yourself up out of what you're currently going through to meditate. I've moved to different places, whether I'm dreaming or something's happening in a deep meditative state. And then you kind of, it does feel like you kind of come back where you're kind of like, whoa, all right, I'm back to this again. You know, a little squirrel off moment here, you know, as from a mental health side, we see a massive rise in depression, anxiety, which I deal out as symptoms, that these aren't things that we are, that they are symptomatic. And in certain ways, they're telling us things. You know, depression is telling you to get us out of here, right? Anxiety is telling you don't go there, right? Change something else, right? But we choose not to listen to them. We numb ourselves out with pills, distractions, whatever. It is moving, possibly in your opinion, as we move from a third to a fourth in some way, or a different level of consciousness, that third avatar, that body, the brain, the body itself, would have freakouts. It would zoom out. It would have malfunctions, right? It would have symptoms of things that we call depression, anxiety, panic.
You know, I was just telling a friend this morning, I think it's a wonder that we're all not batshit crazy right now, because we're getting energy and messages and information from everywhere. The galactics are sending energetic support to infuse source light. All right, so that illuminates everything that's been in the dark. So we go and watch the news to see what latest dark piece of crapola they have just uncovered, right? And we have an emotional reaction to that. And then we have a zillion other sources of information, which is all a resonance. Everything's frequency, right? Then you have your past lives chiming in, because in this ascension, you are unifying yourself first. So if you are triggered by something, you got to go in and talk to that life that happened in 3 BC, you know, and find out what happened and bring it into the light and let it integrate into your soul, because it's still operating in a separation game. And this is sort of in a military term, this is our time right now for each one of us to get all of our soul parts off the battlefield of Earth. So that's why people are being triggered all over the place. They have to go back and love that part that they buried in their subconscious.
Rather than blaming other people for the trigger of what's happening, perhaps that's alerting them to a symptom of something in their past, something their personal responses or emotional responses to something. Really, the issue lies with the person, not the one doing the triggering.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
Thank you. Instead of you're triggering me is necessary.
Well, if it's in the subconscious, we put it there for a reason. It's sort of like, it's sort of like having the humpback as a part of your family. You know, he's got a hump and he's ugly, and you know, so you put him in the basement because you're disowning that part of yourself.
Yeah, the subconscious and conscious, if we can go there for a minute, has always been one of those for me where I look at it from a rational mind. And then I'm also able to look at it from, again, a mind that has seen things that people would call me insane to describe. And, you know, I'm a Freudian fan. He's up on the wall. I think he was, at the time, a thinker that made us all go, whoa, you know, it's not spiritual. You want to do something worse, right? So when Freud kind of started bringing up the idea of the subconscious, the conscious, you know, I've often laughed at the idea that when we think we know something in our subconscious, well, then it can no longer be in the subconscious because we are conscious of it. That the subconscious is something that happens without us knowingly. It's knowingly influencing our behavior. But once we are aware of it, it can no longer be in the subconscious. It is now in the conscious, if you will.
That's true. I would say that, boy, we're going to really get off on a tangent here. But if there are negative forces and there are positive forces, which we know is true, if there's dark, there's light, and if the light. So Freud, in my opinion, was sort of being influenced by the dark. He was about separation. But his protege, I had his name a second ago, Jung.
Oh, I love Carl Jung. He's next to him on the wall over there.
Okay. Jung is the one who's about unification. So first came Freud to disseminate, let's say, lies, some truth, but mostly to distort and confuse. And then Jung came to shed light.
Both necessary.
Well, it's how it happened, you know. So I did. I was talking to the team up there, the whoever's, the other day, and I was really on a rampage. I was angry, and I feel myself and the rest of us as sort of like satellites to the mainframe, and we are the boots on the ground here. You know, we're in the real experiment of the ascension of Earth and humanity. And so periodically I give them a report back from boots on the ground, you know, Private Kirk reporting, this is bullshit, you know, this is whatever, or that's a nice touch or whatever. But this time I was really, I was talking to, I'm guessing probably 11th dimension beings who are holding this game in place. In other words, there are beings who are just holding this game in place. That's it. Yep. So I just said, you know, the next time we're doing this, the next time we're changing the parameters of a created third, fourth dimension reality, I just want to go on record as saying that this game went too far. It became too cruel, too perverse. It's not necessary, I don't believe, for it to go this far separated from God in order for people to learn oneness, in order for a soul. It was just my heartfelt, because I was crushed over something I had just become aware of. And
Maybe it does, because some people, nothing will cross them over until it's, you know what I mean? So far.
But I said, but in my discussions, I mean, I had this whole discussion and mentioned everything you're talking about. And I said, so maybe it takes them 1,500 incarnations on Earth to get the lesson instead of just 1,000. Maybe it adds more incarnations in this third, fourth dimension of hell, you know, the ghetto of the galaxy here, before they get it. But I don't think anything justifies this level of perversity or cruelty or pain. So I was just giving to all of us, because we are all God, I was sending out that information from my laptop, you know, my boots on the ground point of view here on Earth to all that is. So, and I do that periodically when I'm observing something from such a distance and going, wow, this is really sick, you know.
Yeah, and so for others, there's many that we would call that, myself included, would call that prayer, that are praying for those that are facing some ill humanities, you know, or praying for the world, right? In some fashion, can be looked at it in that sense, in my opinion.
Well, it all gets to be here, you know. So anyway, I was just sending my report home, you know. I clicked send and I sent it. this is in what I call prayer, when I am one to the all that is, reflecting my true self back or my observations back. And I do that daily. I mean, sometimes I've got nothing to say and they're like, you know, I have a different whole viewpoint of, like, I see myself and you and everybody as their own cartoon strip. I have a really, humor plays a big part in my being able to walk this planet. If I didn't have humor, I probably would have done myself in years ago if I took it that seriously. Mm-hmm. So back to what you were talking about, increases in depression and all that. The more light that's coming in, the more it's illuminating what isn't light, right? I have a friend who talks about it. It's sort of like last call in a bar. So it's 2 a.m. in a bar and you've been, you know, schmoozing it up with this, you know, person, and you're actually thinking they're cool, and you might be even thinking of going home with them, and, you know, and the barman calls last car and the lights come on and you go, whoa. You
know? Yeah, sure.
And, you know, so you see that this is not somebody you want to go home with, and you see the bubble gum stuck to the bottom side of the bar and all the stickiness. I mean, yeah, now you
can certainly see in the darkest room, you see the smallest light, right? I'm that way when I sleep. I got to unplug things. I don't like even the little green light to be on for something, right? But you can see that smallest light in the darkest room, you can always see.
So now imagine source itself. This is a mandate. This is evolution. There's nothing in the world that's going to stop this evolution. Nothing. Because it's the way it goes. It's programmed into the all that is, you know. You can just watch plants and animals evolve and know that we have to evolve too, because we're a creature on the planet too, in this created reality. Those are the rules here, right? So we're going to evolve no matter what, and we can go hard or we can go easy. Right now, we're kind of bumping along the bottom because so many people don't understand that it's all okay. You're really going home, you know, but you're going to have to let go of all your resistance and everything you think you know is true for what is true. And you're going to have to go inside and trust your knowing. You have to actually have a relationship with your higher self in order to navigate this planet. And so far, all you've ever done is give your power away to them to tell you how things are on this planet. And where did that get you? You see, so the game itself here is crumbling, or, you know, as Neo would say, the Matrix is crumbling. And we have to
expose.
Yeah, you know, the Matrix movies, the Matrix is crumbling. And there is literally no support for it any longer. And we are creating a new grid. And we have to reach for the grid, but if you haven't created the grid, which is in consciousness, you got nothing. That's when you're depressed. Then you feel really alone, and that separation from source is so acute. So if you remember, I said separation from source is pain, no matter who's experiencing it. If you think you're all alone and without truth, beauty, goodness, love, It hurts, whether we call it depression, whether we call it obsessive compulsive, or what are some of the other things, anxiety disorder. Those are all just symptoms of believing in separation. So you've got to go in and treat yourself. What part in there still thinks you're still separated from God? And that's where you do your self-love. And you love that fragment of your soul that has executed a third, fourth dimensional exploration beautifully and is still in pain, and you love it. You yourself in your physical human form love that fragment of your soul back into oneness. You sit quietly in the light of God with that part of you and let it resolve and integrate. So what it resolves and integrates, and what you get to keep is all the wisdom of that experience from 3 BC, but none of the fear anymore. It's just transmuted, alchemized, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, a lot of what we face in our society too is we are told we're not enough. I wrote a paper years ago that marketing was the end of human civilization. Once it learned that it can control the psyche of how you feel about yourself, what you're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing, our society, at least more so than most, convinces us that we're not enough unless you have been here or bought this or acquired this or performed this way, that our value is based on a performance in the third realm here, as you've described it. Right. So that performance itself pushes us heavy into believing we're not enough, believing we're not okay. And sometimes it is necessary, you know, when your life has been run into the ground, possibly by your own self, you know, we need that to wake ourselves up and find a different way.
The game, even though third, fourth, it's an elegant game in and of itself, and it's got perfect rules for waking you up. You're not, you know, it's like you don't have to worry about getting even with somebody because of the way the rules work. The more you keep doing this, the more you're going to keep getting that back. You know, it's physics.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's cliche to say karma, but I'm telling you, in my older age, I learned that. You get out what you certainly put back in. I have noticed, and a lot of times an unfairness, sometimes the innocent do nothing and it rains down on them, and hell will rain down on the innocent, which is part, I think, what you're talking about as you're praying or reporting back. It's hard to believe in something higher when the lack or ill humanity that is allowed to go on, when innocent children are blown up or are starving, or even, you know, terrible things happen to those that are innocent with no question. With no remorse sometimes of many things. It's very hard to imagine who or what could allow that to happen.
But then if you go back to source itself, which is unconditional love, you know, if you dip into almost any of the sacred texts, you know, we are to love as God loves, which is sort of out of complete neutrality or unconditionality. So the rain falls on everybody, whether you're a good guy or not, it's going to water your garden. Sure. And the sun the same. So when you're face to face with somebody, whether it's on YouTube or news or in person with somebody who has done something very wicked or dastardly or whatever, and we're triggered. I mean, mostly now I just see people wanting revenge, you know, and you know, dastardly acts should be done unto their bodies, you know, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. However, there's the work, because what is kicking around in their subconscious is one or three or however many lifetimes of their having been that person and done those things. And so it's really an aspect of themselves that they are rejecting and hating and wanting to crucify. And, you know, and so these are really hard ones when, you know, someone who's really on the road of self-mastery, when they're triggered or they find someone they really hate, like right now, evidently Donald Trump's the guy to hate. You know, if you're in the know, this is the guy that you got to hate. Then the question you ask yourself is, if I'm so triggered by this guy or these circumstances or this situation, how is that me?
Yeah, I forget what's the philosopher that in others, either mistakes or things that we find either annoying or hateful toward others is a reflection of what we see in ourselves.
I would say it's more of a reflection of a resonance. It's not necessarily what we see in ourselves, because we don't tend to see when we see somebody.
Maybe it's that could learn about ourselves is.
I wish. Yes. Yeah. It reflects this whole body of reality that this third, fourth dimensional, you know, the mainstream, whoever they are, refuses to acknowledge that there's anything in non-physical to pay attention to. Right. So
most that believe themselves to be rational believe that. Right. If I can't science it, if I can't prove it or factualize it, then it's woo. Right. It's that's what it's defined as. But I often would say there's many things now prevalent in science now that at a certain period of time would have been called woo woo. right? I mean, if we take what the internet does, what phones are able to do, what some doctors and scientists are able to do or discover or make happen, some physics laws that we've learned, if you stated that 200 years ago, you'd have been like, whoa, this person's, they're nuts, right? We would have chalked them up or had some witch trials or something. You know, it at times, what is present now was considered woo-woo at a time. And I do wonder how long before, what's 2,000 years look like? What's 500 years look like? I mean, we're speaking of uploading consciousness, right? Which many experts say we're so far away from doing, or duplicating the brain, et cetera. I mean, and amongst all this technology, we've still yet to be able to start life from nothing. We have to have a living cell of some sort to bring that life to light. So amongst all the technology, we still can't make life from nothing.
I love that you point that out, because from the natural, and at the very beginning, when I was talking about this substrate that is all source, that is all God, it's always natural. It's not a machine, you know. So the natural way is this elegant. It's elegant. It doesn't fail. It always works, you know. I think the reason technology flourishes is because it does things we think we can't do, right? Mm. Like, we think we can't talk to somebody who's 3,000 miles away, but that's just unexplored human consciousness technology. And it's not an exact science, because everyone has their own experience of that.
There's been a lot of research actually on that, Kathy. It's been coming out. It's small stuff, but it's small things about, somebody can look it up, but they were using the thought of, have you ever thought about somebody and then they called you?
And all the time.
Right.
All the time.
They were doing research and study on this and being able to communicate in certain ways through walls, through other systems, right? It's scary shit. And I think most people, I've often said this, that if you greet something that you hear with an initial hell no and you turn off from it, I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen to that, but it's a good place to start to go, why did I respond that way to something? Perhaps it's because it goes against or argues some of my deep-seated beliefs about life.
Or fears.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, even more so, right, my fears. So it can't be true. If that's true, then everything I've lived up to date would be false. So we confront that with a hell no, right? That perhaps that's a good way to start.
Well, I agree with you, but now let me just give it a little more reference. So we were talking about third, fourth, and then fifth, right? So in fifth dimension, all your thoughts are known, because now we're in one. We are knowing of one. We live in oneness. We are, you know, so if you're thinking something that you don't want the others to know, you can't do that in fifth dimension. So there's actually how we experience life in third and how we are going to experience it in fifth are two different things. Two different experiences completely. Like, our body will be lighter. Supposedly, we'll be able to see through it. We'll still have a physical body, but we'll be able to see through it. It'll be like a shade, you know. You could make a puppet behind a shade with light, you know.
Wow. So
think about if you to move from third dimension, which is power over others, which is certainly a rational response. If you don't think you have a God to resort to and ask for help, you're going to create other behaviors to manipulate your reality so that you can feel safe, right? So in a third dimensional reality, to outthink, outsmart, outmaneuver, outlie, outspin your competition makes sense. Because there's no God to resort to. There's no other power. I mean, there's no greater power. You don't know how powerful you are. So you're this frail, alone little ego. And you create all these other ways, these human ways of controlling your world. So if you go back to my original question, is if I can't control anything outside of me, and I'm not willing to lie or manipulate or any of that, then how do I live the life that I want to live? So we're back to 0 point and going vertical. That's always the answer, right? So
where did you come up with? So as we circle back to the question you first proposed when you started this journey here, what have you come up with as the answer or response or revelation for you?
It's connection with my true self. It's sort of remembering that waiver that I signed before I came in. Like, wait a minute, you know, or you have, maybe you have a deja vu, or maybe you like have a moment where something opens up and you remember that you bent a spoon, or you notice, like I noticed, like I could think of somebody and they call me, you know? So I started expanding on that idea of telepathy, just an experiment in my own life. And I have a cat that has a cat door, and he's indoor, outdoor. He can come and go as he pleases in an allotment of pets that are not allowed to run loose. So this has been the source of great discussion, you know, like, oh, okay. You know, so anyway, I think it was last week, one day he was gone like 12 hours. And I was like, this is not okay with me, Woody. You can't do this. So I went in and I just sort of like pictured him and got real calm. And I said, get your butt home. It's time to come home. Within 5 minutes, one of my neighbors called. She'd scooped him up and he has a little tag. And she says, I have your cat. I said, that's great. Okay.
Not just coincidence. Just happened.
Yeah. So. But I tested it. Of course, I tested it. So then it was a few days later, he was testing me on another boundary issue, you know. And so I did it again. And this time he just came through the door. No neighbor called me. It was just 5 minutes later he came in. And then because I am a doubting Thomas and I have a science background, I did it again. And the third time I did it, it was within 3 minutes he was home. Like, what do you want? You know.
So that's communicating here on the third, right? So you know, finding that actual self, right? I'm curious about that. How you've went about deciphering, right, between the third dimension self and what the authentic or true self is. Is it just accepting every thought that we have as living that as being who we are? How have you begun to filter through the self we believe ourselves to be through various reasons in the true self, as you defined it?
Well, my true self, I think everybody would acknowledge, when you are in joy and you're in your ecstasy, like imagine, you know, you're dunking a basketball and you're in your highest, you're in the zone, right? That's you well, know.
Hey, Stephen Kotler, who's been on the podcast and written.
Oh, you know, Steve. Yeah.
So he talks about the flow state. And what I find interesting is what they found in flow state. He's been on the podcast twice, is the deeper into flow that we get, whether it's dunking the basketball, playing music or freestyle, whatever that is, that our brain actually shuts more and more off, that the deeper in flow that we are, the less we're using of our brain.
Well, you just live long enough and you notice that in your most brilliant time, you weren't thinking.
Hmm.
You know, you were just being, you were just reacting. That's why when I see some of these like disasters, these natural disasters, I think differently than other people because I've been through several of them. And I know that in a natural disaster, your true self just comes out and shines. That's when you help your neighbor get his horses out of his corral. And that's when you turn left instead of right. And you couldn't explain how you and why you did that. I mean,
September 11th did that. I mean, New York considered what the quotes, the angry city, everyone's walking around, no one talks to each other, honking horns like crazy. September 11th tragically goes down, and that entire city almost united the entire country for a good period of time.
Right. I had never seen us united like that since the space shots that we did, you know, in the 60s, you know. So we can get into flow and harmony through ease and flow, or we can be whacked into it by contrast, which is how we're doing it right now, by polarity. Everything's polarizing, you know, but the polarity gives you another choice. Without choice, we wouldn't have free will. Without free will, what would be the point, you see? So everybody has to grow and accept their own responsibility. I wrote a post the other day about immigration. And it was an afterthought that came to me. I don't know. Maybe I was watering the garden, but it just sort of bubbled up. And everybody's, you know, feels sorry for these immigrants at the border. And here's another story about conditions. And here's a story about separation from their children. And so it's all this hearts and flowers stuff, you know. And yeah, you know, if that's all right, let's just leave it at that. So, but then I thought about it this way. This is a planet where everything gets to be here. And everybody in that play of immigration is a soul who incarnated to grow their soul. So maybe everybody who's in the group of people that are coming up and sort of storming the border is having to learn about self-responsibility, about taking responsibility for, I apologize, taking responsibility for our own choices. So in other words, let's say you're an immigrant who's in a really shitty position somewhere, caught in this war at the border, and you have a moment and you're reflecting on all the steps you took to get to this moment. Why did I ever listen to the guy who offered me $20 to get on that bus? I heard the newscast that said the American president said we can't get in, but I listened to this guy and gave him my money and I got on the bus and came.
Well, a lot of people are leaving some terrible situations. You know, I was talking about that today. And what would I do if I'm in a land, let's say Guatemala or some of these places that are gang infested, where they kidnap daughters? I have a 19-year-old daughter, where they kidnap the daughter from you. They take her. She never comes back. Most of the time, raped, murdered, married off. And would I risk getting to the border as a chance to get my child across the border, even if it risks death or jail time for me? And my choice would be yes. I mean, a lot of these people didn't get to choose their country or didn't turn it into that. And if it was about saving my daughter, yeah, I'm listening to whoever can get me wherever I need to get her to be safe. Even if I got to go detain me, do whatever, get her across, even if I have to find her 10 years from now. Through the American foster system or something, at least she's alive, that I would take that shot.
So I'm just going to throw this out there, that there are levels of lessons at every stage. So at the beginning, when you're going to do anything to rescue her, you then don't believe that she has a soul and a whole team and a godship inside that's leading and guiding her through. You see, I had to come to that one when I had to send my son off to deployment. You know, it's like, what? I mean, I have to come to peace with this. And I have to know that he is the same godship that I am. And he can listen within and be in well-being as much as I am or not. He is the master of his life, not me.
Understood. But if she's 8 or 9 and the gang members don't have a choice, that's where she's going to wind up. You know, I mean, and there may be no more journey for her after they take
that her. Could be. And that means there's another lesson in for us to see beyond the veil of death. Right. I had a beloved die in 97 and came through another person to talk to me afterwards. And I'm like, why did you die? And long story short is he wasn't dead. He had moved to another dimension and he was there to tell me I'm not dead. There is no such thing as dead. And if it weren't for him opening that portal for me, I wouldn't have explored consciousness and life beyond this bandwidth of third dimension.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about there too is something that I know a lot of spiritual and religious people would also support going. Yeah, because when people die, often we do blame them, right, for dying. Why'd you leave us here? There's abandonment there that we all feel. But that belief of that we will see them in heaven, right, one day or in a different place, right? I'm speaking from a religious standpoint, that there is this light beyond our life beyond death here and on this planet. I think that hope keeps a lot of religious and spiritual people alive, possibly even inside. A lot of those that claim to be atheist or agnostic may hope that that's to be so too, right? That we get to keep moving on. So I don't think there's anything abstract about what you're saying in some reality of hope.
Well, all I'm saying is that everyone, and I, even the wee ones, are in a complete God unit with a mission and something they particularly came in to do or affect. I had a sister who's evidently the first one born. She came in and lived for a day and left. Mm. So I wasn't around for that. And but I often thought afterwards, what would be the mission? Well, my mother grieved it for a long time. And she never moved past the idea of dead, whatever that meant to her, right? In my understanding of dead, there is no dead. You know, it's sort of like graduating, getting your diploma, and you got out of Earth school alive, you know? you get to move on.
Less suffering.
No suffering once you're in fifth dimension. There's no such thing as suffering in fifth dimension. It's only in this bandwidth. I mean, this is the ghetto of the galaxy here.
And would that mean, because I know we were talking earlier about, you know, being here in this third dimension, it like a training ground for souls, right, to learn and experience. What happens with a soul like that, or a life that has spent 3 seconds on Earth or 2 years or less on Earth? I mean, no soul development there, no gymnasium.
How do you know that? You don't know what the experience of the incarnating soul was. There might have been some little part of being in gestation to birth that it needed to clarify.
Understood. Okay, I got you.
I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but
it's really not based on a time frame. Really, our existence here on the third dimension isn't. That would be what you're saying. That'd be a third dimension way of looking at it. That they've only been here 10 years, so the muscles couldn't have developed like soul muscles, right? In quotes, that somebody couldn't have been here that's been here 40 years, right? That it's all time is irrelevant and much less just relative to the third dimension.
To the soul and to your multidimensional self, time doesn't mean anything. So. There could be people on Earth who have been here 97 years who, you know, they're wondering what their purpose is, right? They're wondering, why am I here? Well, you know, my grandmother used to say that they should shoot you when you're 79. You know, so she lives to be 92. Something happened between that moment and 92 when she passed that she completed her mission, what she, her soul came to know and understand. Something happened. I'm guessing it happened in the last 2 years when she sort of she wasn't unconscious. She was just like sleeping in twilight for the last 2 years. So I think she did some work with her non-physical team in that physical state that looked like, I mean, she was in a nursing home. But, you know, if you went in there and said, Graham, I'm here, she'd like wake up and say hello. And so she wasn't in dementia or anything like that. She was just sleeping for 2 years. It was like Sleeping Beauty. When your soul is complete for the lesson that it has outlined for itself and for humanity, because they're all, what's good for one is good for all, then that's when you leave, and not a moment sooner. So if you're still on the earth, you're still in your mission. And it's not anything about what you're doing in the world. It may be about the frequency you're holding.
Your own. It could be your own life.
Or a certain, well, no, if it's a certain frequency, maybe you're the only one on earth who knows about the divinity of some hated character in public life. Maybe you're the only one who knows their divinity. I don't know how you know that, but you know that, right? So maybe you are a Maori in New Zealand, and from a previous life, you know that soul. You know that soul like this, right? So you're holding that frequency of knowing the divinity of this hated character over here. Well, we need you on the earth to balance out all of this because no one else is aware of what you're aware of. That's what you're bringing to the planet. And maybe no one ever finds out that that's why you were there. And if you're a Maori, you're not even going to ask about what your purpose is because you're living in the now, you know, because you're a first people. So we humans can't even begin to judge or understand or know a purpose. A purpose is energetic, it is quantum, and it has to do with the soul's requirements.
Kathy, that is a great place to wrap up. I like that last line.
Okay. We're good to go.
Yeah. We just over an hour, a little bit. We usually try to keep it to an hour, so we're about 15 or so over.
Well, this went like a blink. It was great fun. You were a great interviewer. Great. You could have the conversation I wanted to have. So thank you so much.
Oh, Kathy, I appreciate you sharing your life and what you're doing for those around you. Thanks for coming on the show and openly speaking.
Well, I appreciate it. Love to be back anytime you want.
All right, Kathy. We will reach back out soon.
Thank you.
Bye, Kathy.
Bye-bye.